This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Today, I'm preaching from a passage which I actually preached on earlier this year, John 15. And it's the same words, but I love the Bible because today we've got a different perspective, a different viewpoint we're coming from. And I find that you can go back to these verses again and again, and there's always something new to be learned. So today we're focusing very much on the theme of abundant life, and we're going to be looking at the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. So some of you might remember this talk from February. I had up here a hydrangea. Its mop heads were being removed. And I thought that you might like to see in a minute, not just yet, what had happened with it. So it was pruned back. I talked about it being pruned back by someone who knew it, who knew what it needed, who knew it needed some quite firm removal of some branches, and knew when to do it. The timing was key. And now it is beautiful. There we go. Beautiful pink flowers. It might not be beautiful today. That was taken pre-drought. It's still good. Better. Oh, excellent. It is thriving. And it is thriving not at least because it had that prune and that care and that pruning back. I spoke in February about how we are known, we're loved, and we're expected, and that Jesus wants us to live abundant lives by abiding in him, by spending time in his presence, choosing his ways, allowing him to prune back the things in our lives that are not healthy, that are not from him, so that we can actually reach our true potential, a bit like the beautiful hydrangea. But for us, we don't get pink flowers or purple flowers or blue flowers or whatever type of flowers we get. What is abundant in our lives when they are fruitful is the fruit of the Spirit. Our lives become characterized by these things, by love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so today, this is not a talk about pruning, you'll be relieved to know. Today we're looking at fruitfulness. So if you want to catch up and see the pruning in action, you can go to YouTube and search for that talk. But today we're going to move on. So if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to find John 15. And we're just going to look at verses 5 to 8 today, which say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So before I go any further, let me just pray. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Today, may we become more aware of your presence in our lives. Would you reveal to us the places in our lives which are fruitful already, and those where more fruit is coming? And may we be a group of people who live abundant lives as a result of knowing Jesus. My prayer, Lord, is that you'd speak through me this morning and that all those listening would be encouraged to bear much fruit. Amen. So before I get to the fruit themselves, I just wanted to draw your attention to a couple of things in this passage, which for me, and maybe for some of you, can be easily missed just with the familiarity of these verses. In verse 5, there's a promise from Jesus. There's this promise that if we remain in Jesus, that we will bear much fruit. There's no requirement to do a lot. There's no requirement to work at something. Just this being, this abiding in the presence of Jesus and allowing him to shape our lives. What a relief that is to me. We don't have to pray day and night. We don't need to fast every day. These are all good things, but there's not a requirement. There's just a requirement to remain in Jesus. And then this fruit of the Spirit is just the natural outworking of that. In the same way that the hydrangea naturally produced flowers when it was looked after, if we remain in Jesus, this promises that we will see fruit in our lives. So let me just challenge you this morning. Perhaps your life doesn't feel very fruitful, but there is a promise from Jesus that if we remain in him, we will see fruit. And my hope is that by the end of this morning, you will all be able to acknowledge and recognize some fruit in your lives, because it's there. So let's find it together. Galatians 5:22-23 lists these fruit of the Spirit. I've said them again, but I'll repeat them. It'll help us remember them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And if we look very pedantically at the language, it is not you will receive fruit, as in you'll get one of these, but sorry, you'll be a bit sparse on the rest. The fruit is described as a collective. It's like these are the collective group of characteristics you can see in your life if you remain in Jesus. So I think there's a challenge to look for all of these things. Now, we don't get them all in equal measure all the time. There are some situations that require different things and seasons in life that require different things. But I think we can expect to see a bit of all of them at different times and in different circumstances, because they are a gift for us to use. And God promises abundance in our lives. So for us, a life lived with Jesus is an abundant life. And as we develop in spiritual maturity, I think we can expect to see more and more fruit in our lives, different things at different times, like I've said. And today we're just going to check in and notice where some of these things are, but also just look at what we'd love to see as well. Because God the Father is a good Father, and if we ask for things in his name, then we can be blessed with these things. I've often prayed for patience when I've needed more patience, or peace when I've needed more peace. And it sometimes takes a while to settle into those things, but my experience tells me that when I ask for things, I'm more likely to see them, I'm more likely to experience them, I'm more likely to just acknowledging that I need them seems to transform my experience of my life. If you're intrigued to know, if you like kind of tangible evidence, and you'd like to know what evidence of fruit there is in your life, then I do have permission to share this from Highfield Church. There's a Fruit of the Spirit questionnaire, which if you've done Leading in the Vineyard with us, you'll have had the option of doing this. Not all the questions quite resonate, so if you're not a driver, the question on driving doesn't quite fit, but you can either answer how you think you would respond or just miss that one out and adjust the scoring. They've given permission to share it, and it's on our website at leedsvineyard.org/fruit. So if you'd like to take a look, you can do that yourselves, but you can also ask one or two people who you trust, who know you, to fill it out with you in mind, and then you can just see whether how you feel you are is how others actually see your life as well. So just in case you wanted some kind of more tangible evidence in your lives, that's there. So this morning I'm going to look at the fruits in three sections. And for each one, I'll encourage you just to consider where you can see evidence of that fruit in your life and perhaps where you'd like to cultivate a little bit more of a particular fruit in your lives. I'll celebrate some stories and then just wrap it all up at the end. So let's start with love, joy and peace. And my Greek pronunciation is not excellent, so I'm just going to leave those up there on the screen for you. Love. The Bible is full of reminders to love one another. Love seeks the best for the one it's directed towards. We can prefer each other rather than just seeing what is best for us. John 15:17 says, "This is my command, love each other." Easier said than done, I think. It's quite succinct in the Bible, a bit harder in our own lives at times. Joy. And joy is not to be mistaken with happiness. Joy is that really deep-rooted satisfaction, understanding that there is a God who loves you, regardless of what life is throwing at you. An ongoing relationship with Jesus that continues through good things and bad things, through challenges and celebrations, that sense of joy If you've been around people who are strong in joy, you'll know the kind of people I mean. Peace. Matthew 9 tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. People who are strong in peace have an inner quietness. They just seem to have a deep sense of God's trust. They know who they are. They know who's made them. Again, people full of peace are lovely to be around. They just calm things down very quickly. So let's just pause for a second and think, what do you think is most evident in your life to those around you? Love, joy, or peace? And what might the Holy Spirit be inviting you to cultivate more of today? What would you love to see more of in your life? Our church family has plenty of examples of men, women, young people and children who are demonstrating these gifts of the Spirit day in and day out. But let me just share one little story with you by way of encouragement. So earlier this week, I spoke to somebody who'd been on holiday and had a story to share from their time away, which I think embodies love for someone else, putting someone else first. And I asked permission to share this story, and this is what they said in their own words. A single lady with a three-year-old came over to us as we sat outside our caravan, asking if we could help her as the battery in her camper van was flat. So we set up our car to do just that and chatted while the car did its stuff. She was really lovely and friendly and introduced us to her son. She explained that so far the year had been terrible, so she had decided to venture out travelling for a few weeks just to get her head together. I love this bit. So, of course, I just had to share Jesus with her. I told her that we had a faith in God and that, in my opinion, the fact that she had been directed to us was because God wanted her to know that he sees her and he knows her painful circumstances and wants her to know that she is looking out for both of them. She then became emotional and said how lovely that was to know. I gave her a hug and prayed a simple prayer over her, asking for Jesus to make himself known to her and for her to find a place of peace within the stressful situation and to know his protection and provision for her. It was a really lovely 15 minutes. It was supernatural, comfortable, and as it should always be for us as God's children reaching out to others. It made my day. I love that. Just someone on holiday, not even thinking, oh, I'm at church, it's Sunday, I should offer to pray for someone. But someone just showing love to someone who needed to know they were loved. So some more fruit. This time we've got patience, kindness and goodness. Patience is a tricky one for me. Learning to have time for those who might irritate us or drain us of energy. Keeping on going despite challenges and setbacks, sometimes long after the original motivation or excitement about something might have passed. Now, when I was a child, this is a bit of an aside, I was in some kind of like Vineyard Kids-esque musical called The Music Machine. Some of you might have heard it if you grew up in the 80s. There's some nods. I was asking my mum if she had any old photos of it, but thankfully she doesn't, so I've escaped the embarrassment of having to put them up on screen. But there was a song sung by a snail. I've warned Josh, I might even try and sing it. This happened, bear in mind, I learned this when I was a child. Clearly God has a sense of humour, because I'm still sure I need this song regularly now. But it goes, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times when others have to wait for you. There we go. If you remember nothing else, YouTube, snail, music machine. Completely lost my own train of thought now. It's the only song I can remember. There was one for each of the fruits and some kind of master plan. Maybe I'll chat to Alex about whether we can recreate it. It was written in the 70s, so anyway, let's move on. Kindness. Taking the invitation to respond to the needs of others, not because we should, or because anyone will notice, or we've been asked to, but just eagerly and without the expectation of anything in return. And then goodness. Goodness is not reacting to something, but responding with something positive. Living with integrity, with openness, with honesty. Not striving for recognition or superiority, but just getting on with it. I love this from Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. So let's just stop and notice again for these three, for patience, kindness, and goodness. Where do you feel the most fruitful today? And where might the Holy Spirit be inviting you to cultivate more fruit? So last Sunday, another story, I was delighted to hear of a succession of ways that as a church community we've shown kindness to each other, which has actually spilled out beyond our church family. One of the families within the church had a chance to go to New Wine this summer as a result of the invitation from another family and the willingness of several others to lend out tent sleeping bags and other things that were needed. Now, the recipient of this kindness had actually felt called by God round about the same time to demonstrate kindness to the staff at the school where their children go. And had done end-of-year cards and presents, get this, not just for their individual children's teachers, but for the whole school, for all the staff. And not just kind of general words of thanks, but praying, listening to God, and writing down words for the staff at this school. Now, there's a follow-up to this story that I've only just heard about, so we'll share that during the week, unless there's time later. But what a powerful witness of kindness, and of kindness, almost growing kindness. I think when you receive kindness, you're more likely to be kind to the next person, and it kind of spirals a bit out of control, I think, at times. But what a great story. What a great testament to the evidence of kindness in the lives of our church family. We've got all sorts of opportunities coming up in the autumn term if you'd like to practice kindness. We're hoping to start a food pantry in Headingley to try and serve and meet the needs of our local community. There'll be more about that in a blog from me tomorrow. We'll be launching our Love Christmas campaign this autumn, and this year we're going to have a real focus of giving our time and our energy. There'll be some things to buy, but really focusing heavily on time and energy to support the things we're already involved with, the contact centre, the lantern community, and blessing our Headingley community, getting out into Beckett's Park and just demonstrating to people the joy and the love that Christmas brings. There'll be some opportunities to cook, to wash plates, dishes, to decorate places to make them look beautiful, and just supporting the teams who serve in these projects week in, week out. And there'll be more on that in September. So our final three fruits: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who are faithful can be trusted to do what they say. They show up when they say they will. They're reliable. They're trustworthy. They can be a reassuring presence in the midst of life kind of spinning around us. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, capable and respected, mature in the faith, and with proven ability to engage in ministry, faithful to the ministry already given. That's a description of leaders. And I think it's a challenge for us as followers of Jesus to be those people, to be capable and respected, have a proven ability and faithful. Gentleness. Gentle people are really considerate of others. They're humble, but they can often respond really firmly with appropriate boundaries and context to a situation. And self-control. Self-control is often evident in the abstinence from things which could be harmful. But it's also characterized by not controlling situations or people around us, by encouraging interdependence rather than dependence on others, not needing to be the one who can fix things, but encouraging people to be empowered to get on with things for themselves. It requires developing maturity and actively getting involved in circumstances. And I think for leaders, this is particularly key, especially in a church, especially in this day and age where there are so many sad headlines out there. To lead from a place of gentle faithfulness, to show up, to get stuck in, to wash the dishes. We don't have chairs, but to put out the chairs, to tidy up, to empty the rubbish, to trust God's calling on our lives enough to do those things and not be striving for a stage. And again, Timothy has a lot to say about this. 1 Timothy 3, as a man or woman of godly character with a reasonably stable life. I like that. Not necessarily fully stable, reasonably stable, self-controlled and free from excesses and bad habits. It's that moderation, it's that understanding of our own limits and capabilities. So for the last time this morning, let's just stop and notice, which of these three can you see fruit of in your life? Faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And what might the Holy Spirit be inviting you to cultivate more of today? So my example for this is not so much of a story, but I'd really like this morning to honour the faithfulness of our Sunday teams in particular. They're not the only ones. The people who show up each week and enable us to meet like this, physically in a church building, but also the provision to be able to watch online. Now today, there were 22 people making Sunday gathering happen. And that's with a slightly reduced Vineyard Kids team over the summer with families travelling and with Mike doing a great job of leading worship without a band to back him up. And no communion this week either. Some of our teams, I found out, have secretly, perhaps, been doing back-to-back weeks of serving in order to cover others' holiday. And you know what? Everyone I've asked about it has just smiled and said they were happy to do so. Whether they say something else at home, I don't know. But to me anyway, I got a, it's fine. I'm happy for someone else to be on holiday. This isn't a recruitment drive in any way, shape or form, but if you're not on a team already, it's a great way to get to know people. And I'd really encourage you to join in. But let's just celebrate the faithfulness of the people who know that this matters, to meet together, to gather together. And if you'd like to join in, then come and chat to me at the end. I'm sure there's a team that would be a good fit and a great way to get to know people. So let me wrap up. John 15:8 tells us, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Now, as followers of Jesus, we love to bring glory to the Father. And that's why I've not shared names in my stories today. These are just a few that I've had the privilege to hear, and I know that there will be countless others. Maybe you celebrate them in your growth groups. Maybe you're just aware of somebody who's actually just, you know, one of those people who's an absolute legend, but no one quite knows who they are. They just get on with it. I love those people and celebrate them. I have the privilege of hearing stories just of ordinary people like you and me who just through their daily lives are demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in ways that I'm not sure they even really realise they're doing. And if you found it hard to spot where there's fruitfulness in your life, let me encourage you to keep looking for it, because it will be there. But sometimes the things that we do naturally, we don't realise the impact that they have. We don't see that. The faithful who pray every day for friends and family. The people who just don't realise that others live in a turmoil because they live in a place of peace. We're not always evident. That's why the questionnaire can be helpful, just to tease out what other people see. We are so fortunate that Jesus, the Jesus who came and died for us, loves to be in relationship with us. And if we seek out that relationship, then the benefit both for us and the world around us is a life lived in fruitfulness, an abundance of God's favour and provision in our lives. Some of us are weathered by challenges and circumstances which make spotting the fruit a little bit harder, but I do think it is still there. For some of us, perhaps we just need to stop and notice and reflect on where would we be if we didn't know Jesus? What's the difference from knowing him? But for all of us, today my invitation for you is just to not forget the fruit that we'd love to see more of, and to celebrate the fruit that we can see in our lives. To choose, and I do think it is a choice in many circumstances, to be someone who demonstrates love, who experiences joy, who practices patience, who can exercise kindness, embody goodness, be consistent in faithfulness, show gentleness, and exhibit self-control. So if you're able to, let me invite you to stand. You've been sitting for a while, and I'll invite Jason and Gwen to join me. And if you'd like to, why don't you join me in praying this prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you that for those who remain in you, you will enable us to bear much fruit. Today, would you show us the fruit which you are growing in our lives, that we might each live an abundant life in knowing you, Jesus? Would you encourage and strengthen us to be a people who bear much fruit, and as a result, would we bring glory to the Father? Amen.
So during the worship, we sang, "O Come to the Altar," and I was just brought back to the sort of opening words of that. Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? And I was sort of reminded that as the picture of the sort of dry, dead, looking flower, and that perhaps that resonates with people, and you know, that's in some people that's how they kind of feel, that they have come to the end of their self. And so if you're feeling like that, I know that God would like us to pray for you. So it'd be great if that you either make yourself known to someone that you trust, a leader here, or even come forward and ask for prayer, and we can do that for you. Because Jesus is calling. He's calling you. And we'd love to be able to just pray with you for his spirit.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate the invitation of the same song that Jesus is calling. And I don't know if when you listen to the list of the fruits of the Spirit, you are naturally inclined to think of where you're lacking. Maybe that's me, maybe it's human nature, I don't know. And I think Jesus is inviting us, Jesus is calling us into that place that Anne described, just to remain with him for his glory. So not so we can tick them off and feel amazing, but just for his glory. So thank you, Jesus, that you're calling us. Thank you that you're inviting us just to remain in your presence, in your peace and your love. And I do pray, Father God, that it will bring you glory. Our lives will glorify you.